to Library Voices SC. I'm Pamela.
I'm Katie.
And we are so super excited to be here today. It is a new year. Happy New Year, everybody. Katie, we have a super special program today. Would you like to tell everybody about it?
Of course, Pamela. We today have our agency director here from the South Carolina State Library, Lisa Aiken.
Woo!
And we're very excited to get started. So
let's just jump right in.
It's a new year, and that's really exciting. So going into the new year, Lisa, what are some things that you foresee for the State Library?
So for me, I think 2017 is what I'm calling the year of service. And we, as you guys know, we are a service institution and we focus on services every day. But in particular, in the coming year, I think what we're going to be working on our programs highlight service in our community, equity and inclusion and diversity.
Awesome. So if we're focusing on our programs, are you talking about programs in-house? Are you talking about external programs?
I'm talking about both. And so one of the ways that we're going to engage our communities is through a civic engagement program, and we're in the process of developing that right now. And really it will help voters become more educated on how to search for valuable, credible, non-biased information mm-hmm. so that they can make decisions in the voting booths that are informed. So we're working on that. And then also how to register to vote.
Awesome.
That's part of our civic engagement. How local government works, how state government works, how our national government works. Mm-hmm. So we're working on developing that. That's one of the ways. We have an upcoming partnership with the South Carolina Human Affairs Commission.
Ooh.
Yeah, super excited about that.
This cool.
will be, you know, diversity is important to mm-hmm. me and it's important to us. And I think it's important to have representation from our entire state and our communities. So I'm working with Commissioner Buxton on developing a program with South Carolina Human Affairs Commission. So excited about that. More to come. And then we also have a new position in library development, which is going to have a focus on equity and inclusion.
That's exciting.
It is. Thank you. I'm super excited about that. And that position will help public libraries in particular analyze their collections to make sure that they're collecting in areas that represent their community. So, for example, if they had a high Native American population in their community, we could help them find resources. Also, just programming and other ways to engage that part of their community that may not be using the library. Mm-hmm. And we have all of that data mm-hmm. through some analytics that we keep and statistics that we get every year. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited about that and making sure that the library represents the whole community. I have a lot more. Do you want me to keep going?
Go for
it. All right.
Definitely.
All right. So we're also looking at an accessibility software product that will read aloud to people using websites. And so I'm looking at a statewide product, and you all know I'm interested in consortial purchases or statewide licenses so that we really are making libraries accessible to all of our communities across the state. I believe in equal access to information. And so this tool in particular, you hover over a word and it reads out loud to you. So that would be helpful for children with learning disabilities, people with visual impairments, new readers,
Absolutely.
People who have difficulty reading small print, just a variety of people would be able to use that product. And so it would just be, it's kind of like a plugin that goes over the website. So we'd buy it statewide.
I love that because it'll not only help our TBS patrons with that particular website, but all of our websites.
All of the websites. That's exactly right. It really touches on so many of our customer groups.
Absolutely.
It reads aloud 99 different languages.
Oh, wow.
So you can select what language you want to be read.
Nice.
You know, what you want the language
That's
to
incredible.
Translate.
That's exciting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So more to come on that. I'm in the process of working with a vendor on it. And then DISCUS, which you know is our K-12 primarily mm-hmm. product, which is a group of vetted databases with accurate information. This is our time where we're going to be evaluating those databases. We do that every 3 to 5 years, and so we'll be doing that in the next year. Excited about that and looking at products to go into DISCUS, which is, it's a huge database as it is. We're also looking at partnerships with the Department of Education.
Mm-hmm.
Partnerships are important to me, and using the state's resources in a responsible way, in an effective way. So we're looking at a partnership with ETV as well. Partnerships with the Columbia Museum of Art. We've recently made a board book with the Museum of
Art.
Yes, the IC Art book.
Love that.
Super excited about that.
In fact, we're going to do a podcast on that in the near future.
I was going to ask, what is that?
I have more to tell you about that later.
Exciting for our listeners, at least. That's a little plug-in.
Super exciting. And then we have a new department, our statewide services department, which collectively does programming for our library that have, I would say, a humanities focus. And so this month, for example, we're focusing on South Carolina nature and winter botany. Next month is Black History Month, so we'll be focusing on that. And then March, we have Women's History Month, and we'll be doing something with Teen Tech in March as well. Very excited about that department. Look for more to come. We did, in the fall of this past year, an event to remember the flood of 2015.
That was a powerful night.
It was amazing.
It really was.
It was simply amazing.
Yes.
And so I'm really excited about that, and I hope that more of our listeners will come and visit the library and use our resources in person, because we have so many. Although you all know, we had almost 20,000 visitors last year, so very exciting. We also were selected as an Arbuthnot lecture site, so we'll have Jacqueline Woodson coming in April, April 1st and 2nd. She'll be here. Very excited about that. We're working on disaster recovery and emergency preparedness, and that, again, is something that's important to me, making sure that people are prepared if there's an emergency, whether it's an emergency in the library or that's unforeseen, or something that you know that we have a little bit of planning on. So we'll be working on that internally as an agency and making sure that our employees can respond quickly to an emergency and that they're notified quickly of an emergency. I think you were here, both of you were probably here last year when we had a tornado.
Yes.
We had some fun for a tornado.
That's right. Fun in the basement.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then once we've developed that internally, part of what we do is library development. And so we help libraries across South Carolina. So once we have it internally tight and in a way that we can roll it out, we'll also be rolling out an emergency preparedness program that libraries can use the data and the information that we provide to them.
Oh, great.
Variety of size libraries. And then we'll do some consulting on that. So much.
Wow.
I still have a couple more things. Can I go on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. So this is the first year that Talking Book Services will have an adult summer reading program.
Oh, sweet.
Yay.
Yes, I know. It's exciting.
That makes me very happy.
Super exciting. Also, they're going to be partnering again with Meals on Wheels to identify patrons who may want to become patrons of Talking Book Services or may be eligible for Talking Book Services. And also, we're working with South University with their occupational class to talk to them about Talking Book Services. And so we've gotten a lot of feedback from that and a lot of good momentum.
Neat.
Yeah, it is. All right. Let's see. We, as you guys know, we record regularly for Talking Book Services, and we have some exciting books planned this year.
And I would just add that if there's anybody out there listening who's ever considered recording a book, that they can call and schedule an opportunity to come audition with Talking Book Services to do a recording to see if their voice is a match, and because we can always use recorders.
Absolutely. And last year we had our first recorder who was a child, and she read a children's book for Storyfest.
Right.
And so really excited about that. So it doesn't matter your age, if you have a specific interest in a book
or magazine
or magazine, that's right, we can help match you up. And we have great technology that can take out things that need to be edited. So,
and the person that will oversee that, he's really good at coaching you through the process. So
yes.
If you ever feel nervous and you wonder if you'll be a good fit, don't worry. We've got you taken care of.
Absolutely. Yep. And then a couple other points I would say. This past year, we've hired a children and youth services consultant in library development. So we're excited to have her helping in our communities and in our libraries. And then we also hired a technology consultant for library development for public libraries. So we're excited to see what the year is going to bring in those areas. We are always digitizing our collection of state documents. And recently, we've been working with the Confederate Relic Room on digitizing some of the things that they have, which is really exciting. And perhaps not as exciting, we're working on the annual reports for DMV. So, but they're super important.
Good.
Yeah, they really are. And they're very important, and they're very useful to different people doing research. And
sure.
So we have such a variety that we scan and that we digitize and that we make available to statewide access. That's awesome. Yeah, important. We are, of course, a member of SC Lens, which is a group of libraries. Currently, there are 19 libraries, and we share a catalog and resources. There are over 3 million items in SC Lens right now, and we, in the coming year, will be adding another library.
Great.
Cherokee County is coming on, so that's, we're excited about that. I've got some work I'm doing on the national level with the chief officers of state library agencies and advocacy and creating a library leaders program that I'm excited about. We also have we're in the process of evaluating our grant that we received from the Institute of Museum and Library mm-hmm. Services. Mm-hmm. So we'll be wrapping that up and then planning for the next 5 years. And then, of course, we have some of our standard every year things that we do, like our Talking Book Services Art Gallery, which mm-hmm. is art that's created by children who are either visually impaired or have a physical impairment that prohibits them from holding a book in a traditional manner. And so that's a competitive art competition, and it is fierce.
Yes, it is.
And the art is amazing. And you all have seen it. Amazing.
And that art will be going up in April.
Yes, and so we're excited about that. And then we have our notable state documents awards program that will be happening as well. We have our read-in and many of our just regular annual events. And then, of course, we'll be working on promotion of libraries and our library services. Libraries do so much in their communities. They really are community centers. Mm-hmm. We're constantly working on that message and getting that message out. And I'll probably stop there because I have a 3-page list. And so probably better to just stop.
It sounds like 2017 is going to be a really busy, really full,
but impactful.
Impactful year for us.
The year of service.
I love it.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. I had a question and it slipped my mind, so maybe it will come back to me. Do you want to ask another question? Because we did have a few other questions we wanted to ask Lisa while we had her tucked away in the studio.
Thank you, Lisa, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We really loved having you here.
Yes, the state of the state library address.
Yes.
You heard it here.
Live. Not really. Blooper. But one of the questions that I really wanted to ask, because I'm sure our listeners would love to get to know a little bit about you, is what is one of your favorite memories, because I'm sure there are many, of libraries?
Okay. So I was the speaker for the 2016 December graduation for the School of Library and Information Science, which was humbling and an honor, and I really appreciate them asking me. And one of the things I talked about were people's journeys, and I've been at the State Library for 9 years. I didn't anticipate being here for 9 years, but I'm so glad that I'm here, and I plan on being here for a lot longer. But I think libraries have a way of getting into a person and making them fall in love with the library. And I probably have always had a love affair with the library, truthfully. And my first memory, I would say, regarding the library would be the bookmobile that visited our school, our elementary school. I grew up in a family with very little resources. And so the library, we were readers though, but the library had such a, it was just like a magical place, I would say. And so the bookmobile, which I called, and I talked about this in my speech, but I called it the library bus because, you know, that's what we called it.
I love that.
Yeah. And so that experience of waiting in line to go onto the library bus and really have an opportunity to look through the items that were in the collection there was really powerful for me. So that's probably my first memory would be just books transported me to a different place from my current situation to a completely, you know, books, you know, they take you everywhere. We were talking about Harry Potter before we started this podcast, and yes. You know, you can be anything in a book, and you can, so books are amazing. That's one, but I have a couple I'd like to share.
Go for it.
As we go.
Definitely.
Yeah. I have a fascination with microfilm and microfiche machines.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I love microfilm machines. I can't even tell you. And so I really do. I love the whole process of the microfilm machine. In fact, on my way to work this morning, I was thinking about something I wanted to look up on the microfilm machine. So anyway, I did occasionally get to go to the public library. And so I remember going over to the microfilm machine and just looking up whatever was the last thing that was in there. And I could get lost in the microfilm, whatever it was. I mean, if it was a newspaper from 1820, 1860, it didn't matter. If it was from 1940, I could read it and find something interesting. I find people very interesting. You know, relationships are important to me. They're important to our business, and they're important to the culture that we have at the State Library. And so the microfilm machine is a way to be able to connect with people that are no longer here and learn about your history. So that's one. And then another would be, my grandmother worked for the VA hospital. And she was a medical photographer for surgery. And so she was an amazing woman, just an amazing woman. She showed me the first picture of somebody who had HIV/AIDS. And it was right during the time when there's a lot of public scare about HIV and AIDS and not a lot of information. And so she showed me a picture of somebody at the VA hospital and explained to me how HIV and AIDS were contracted. And so I had some information about that. Well, I decided to do a book report. You had to choose a subject as a book report. And I was fascinated by this. And so I did this report, and then more information came out in the media. It was interesting to me how the information was skewed in such a way that it was no longer accurate. Okay. Just by removing a couple of words or rearranging things. And I was probably in middle school, early middle school. And I remember thinking just about, like, that's not accurate. That's not true. That's changed the meaning completely. And I think that had a significant impact on me. But I remember going to the library and doing my research. You know, that was back in the day when you had to pull everything off the shelf, and you had these little card catalogs and the tiny little pencils, and you wrote down what you were looking for on the pieces of paper, the little small pieces of paper, and then you went to the shelf and you pulled it, and everybody knew how to use the system
right
on paper. But I did my research, and I remember that, and that it just had it was really meaningful to me and probably influenced my life in ways I didn't know at that time that it would. And just seeking information that is accurate and really being an informed participant in your community, which is part of what I talked about at the beginning of this. So yeah, those are some of my, and then I guess I would say, not my young memories, but I'm a mother of three, and so some of my fondest memories are going to story time with my own children and just participating in the library.
I love that. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
And Pamela, do you have a question for Lisa?
Ooh, I do.
What would you like to know?
Well, I heard you mention earlier that you come from a family of readers. I happen to know that you are currently a reader, and I have a feeling our listeners might be interested in knowing what you're currently reading.
Sometimes I find it difficult to select a book, and so it's sort of like the bookmobile. I get this anxiety over what am I going to read, because there's so much out there to read. And I don't know if other people read in the same way, or if you all read. I know some people do, but I have about three books usually going at the same time.
That's exactly what
and
I do.
And yeah, oftentimes one is professional, another is for pleasure, and one is usually, I would say, for more of personal development of some kind. And so what I have recently finished, though, I read solely on its own, and it was amazing, which is Natchez Burning.
Okay.
And Greg Iles wrote that. It's almost 800 pages.
Woo.
I do a lot of traveling around the state to different public libraries. And so I was at a public library, and I had a three-hour drive ahead of me. They are a participant in SE Lens. And I said, can I borrow an audiobook? And that wonderful librarian said yes. And I checked it out. It was Natchez Burning. It's 30 discs because it's so large. But I had a lot of traveling to do.
Sure.
And so I listened to that book. A lot of times I do business in the car. I handle what I can. But if you're traveling a lot, then you can only do so much. And so I listened to that. It was great. It is a fantastic book and very timely with some of what's happening in our society and culture today. And so that's my teaser for it. It's great. It's big. Don't be intimidated by it. It's worth it. I would say. And I had the hard copy at my house, but it is sort of intimidating. Almost 800 pages is a lot to read.
That's a lot of pages.
Mm-hmm. So I finished that. So I wanted to make sure I did a plug for Natchez Burning because it is great. A friend of mine, who is the Arkansas State Librarian, recently sent me Rick Bragg's book, which is My Southern Journey. That's a fun book to read. It's a lot of excerpts from Southern living and some stories that he's told. They're fun. It's kind of light reading, geared towards the South, obviously. Sure. And then I'm reading The Blue Tattoo, which is the life of Olive Oatman. And that's written by Margot Mifflin. And that details a story about, she's a pioneer child, really. She's 14. And her family has decided to move from Illinois out west. And there they meet some Yavapai Native Americans who unfortunately overtake them and kill most of the family. And she, Olive Oatman, it's a true story, and her sister, rather, were taken as slaves for a year. And then they were traded by the Yavapai to the Mojave, who took them in as one of their own. And Olive's sister is sort of sickly and dies. But Olive, the interesting thing about that happened.
Sure.
I mean, that's just a part of our history.
Right.
What's interesting about this is that she's the first white woman to be known to have been tattooed on her face, which was part of the Mojave culture. Mm-hmm. They believe that in order for you to be able to transcend to the afterlife, you needed to have a tattoo on your chin. And so she became a part of their tribe, even getting a nickname and taking on the father's family name.
Wow.
In all ways was integrated into their tribe and had a tattoo on her chin. Mm. A historian of the book said she must have been important to this tribe or they wouldn't have cared about her afterlife. And they must have been important to her. And the Mojave did not even make their own people get chin tattoos. So it was completely voluntary.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So she would have had to have wanted to participate in this process. But she's rescued and goes back to the white community, and that's where I'm at in the book.
Ooh.
That sounds so very fascinating.
I really want to get that one after you're done with it.
It's really very, very, very interesting. I have a tendency in general for pleasure. I would say I like biographies and information about people, stories. I like people's stories.
Yeah. Well, you like people.
I do.
Mm-hmm. You're good with people.
Thanks.
All right. That was fun.
That was.
Lisa, do you have any last words of wisdom, hopes, suggestions, anything that you'd like to share with the library listeners or anybody out there?
So here are my basic words of wisdom. Be nice to people. And truly, treat people the way that you want to be treated. I think in no matter what you're doing, if you manage people, treat people in a way that you would want to be managed. If you have family members, friends, you just come in contact with people. Treat people the way that you would want to be treated. I think kindness goes a long way, just in general.
I'd have to agree with that.
Thank you all for having me.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for the updates for the South Carolina State Library. I think that will do it for today. I'm Pamela.
I'm Katie.
And we're keeping it short
and sweet.